Welcome to installment 280 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will conclude our discussion of positive commandment 236, the commandment including all of the laws of personal damages, the law of chevel. The Rambam tells us that this commandment derives from the book of Exodus, chapter 21, 18, which begins, V'chi yirivun anoshim, when people argue together, V'hika ish es re'ehu, and one person strikes another, and obviously causes him damage, and the verse enumerates further on various forms of damages which he must pay, such as medical expenses, and to compensate him for the work he has missed, and so on. Aside from the specific damages enumerated there, there is also a general commandment from the book of Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 19, which states, Kasher asa, kein ye'asa lei. Just as the person has done, so too it should be done to him. Meaning, of course, that if he has caused physical damage to somebody, not that he should be physically damaged in return, but rather just as he has caused damage, and he has caused financial loss to another as a result of the damage he has inflicted, so too he must have to compensate him for the damage he has caused. Kein ye'asa lei, you must also cause him a loss, cause him a damage, albeit a financial damage instead of a physical damage. These damages which are paid are known as knosses, a knas meaning a fine. And these fines apply even if no physical damage in the strict sense has been applied. For example, even if you only shamed the person, nevertheless you must pay money in order to compensate him for the shame he has been forced to endure. Although shame, our sages tell us, when you shame a person, it is as if you have killed him. That since by shaming him, you bring the red, you make him blush, bringing red to his cheeks. Where has the red come from? The red is coming from the blood, which has run to that part of the face where he is blushing. And this idea that you have moved blood from its proper place to this place is an idea of shfichas damim, that the word in Hebrew, one word at least, used for murder is spilling someone's blood. You have moved his blood from the proper place to an improper place, where it does not belong now. And therefore, by shaming him, it is as if you have killed him, since you have moved the blood from one place to another. These laws of knas, of fines, discussed in this commandment apply when one person has caused harm to another. There are other types of fines we have mentioned on other occasions with other mitzvahs, such as damages caused by an animal, that if it damages another animal or damages a person, then the owner of the animal also must pay a fine. Which fines and which amounts are discussed under the details of those particular commandments. However, the Rambam gives us a general principle relating to all fines, that any case where the Torah tells us there is a knas, only certain rabbis and certain judges are qualified to impose these fines. The only ones who are allowed to do this are rabbis from a court who had the rabbinic ordination, the proper smicha, from the land of Israel, which dates back to the generation of Moses, that Moshe Rabbeinu himself gave ordination to the generation which succeeded him. And so too that generation passed on to people from further generations. And this went on all the way down through the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple, and beyond. But then in the times of the Talmud, this rabbinic ordination, this chain, which stretched back to Moshe Rabbeinu, ceased. And although people still were highly trained and highly educated in Torah law, this smicha system faded away and disappeared. And at that time, no longer were fines allowed to be applied. However, in those days, as is present in modern times, a Jewish court can nevertheless impose fines as they see fit. Not with the same strength or with the same limitations as fines which are present in the Torah itself and indicated even in Psukim in the Chumash, but they can impose fines as they see fit in order to maintain control over the community and to make sure people have proper relationships with each other and to make sure a damaged person is satisfied for the damage which he has endured. The details of this commandment are discussed in the 8th chapter of the Talmudic tractate Baba Kama. As we have mentioned over the last few days, we are repeating this law of damages to correspond to the laws presently being learned in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. And presently being learned are Hilchos Shcheinim, the laws involving relationships between neighbors. That through an act that one person could do, he could end up directly or indirectly harming his neighbor. And therefore there are laws regulating what a person is allowed to do, what sort of job he can do, what he is allowed to burn or plant on his own property since it might affect his neighbor. And so too, as the Rambam tells us in his introduction in Mishneh Torah to this law, that there is a law of Baal Meitzer. The law is that if a person has a plot of land, and next door to him someone is selling land in an adjoining field, and he would like to purchase it. However, somebody else has purchased this field. The Torah tells us that the person that purchased the field should give it up, should give it to the person who lives next door, that since as far as he is concerned, he could buy any other field. It's no difference to him whether he has specifically this field or another field. But for the person who already owns a field right next door, it makes a very big difference. He will now have a field which is twice the length, or at least a field adjacent to his present property, and therefore will be able to cultivate it and collect, harvest the crops in an easier fashion than he would if he had a field at some far-off place. And this is the law of Baal Meitzer, that someone who is a neighbor has priority, has first right to the selling of a field. We see the same law applied in a very interesting way by various commentaries to a story given in the Gemara when Moses himself, before the Torah was given, went up to the heavens. He was accused by the angels before God. And the angels asked God, how could you give such a precious thing as the Torah to such a person of flesh and blood? We might mention parenthetically that the main claim the angels had to the Torah was for Yisedis HaTeira, for Pnimiyas HaTeira. Teira, as it's learned above, Chsidis and Kabbalah, this is what the angels wanted to learn, not to be given to people. And they told Hashem, to get back to the point, that why should you give the Torah to people? Are these people going to behave properly? What is man worth? This is flesh and blood. Why should you give the Torah to them? And God asked Moses, you have to give them an answer. And Moses answered them, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, what is written in your Torah? It says, in the first of the Ten Commandments, it says, I am Hashem who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Have the angels ever had to be in Egypt? Were they ever subject to the decrees of Pharaoh? And also it says you shouldn't worship idols in the Torah. Do the angels have any idols that they have a test that they have to worry about? It also says you have to have honest business. You must honor your mother and father. There should not be any jealousy. And you must not follow the desires of your evil inclination. The angels have none of this. They don't have an evil inclination. There's no mother and father, and there's no business. They don't need the Torah, we do. And immediately God answered and said that you're right, Moshe, the Torah will be given to the Jewish people and not the angels. This is what's said in the Talmud. Different Jewish writings explain why the angels wanted the Torah. What right did they have for the Torah? That God wanted to give it to the Jewish people is enough to remove any claim they might have to it. However, these books explain, according to the law we just gave, that the angels had a legal claim to the Torah, that since we have the law of Baal Meitzer, that a neighbor has the right to something which is being sold. It just as we mentioned that if a person has a field next door to his, he has first right to the field. And so too the angels claimed. They said that we are right next door to the heavens. We are closer to Hashem than the people are. And therefore we have first right to the Torah. Since the Torah is, so to speak, our neighbor, it is way up in the heavens, and we are closer to it, then we should have first right to it. In the law of a Baal Meitzer. And this was the claim of the angels. However, we do not see explicitly in the Gemara an answer. How did Moses answer this halachic claim of theirs? They seem to have had a good claim. And many answers are given in the many writings which bring up this point. And although they give many answers, none of these answers are present in the words of Moses as he answered them before Hashem. We do not see that Moses answered this claim explicitly. However, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita explains why it is that this claim of the angels was not even legally a good claim, and how Moses himself mentioned this. One of the laws brought down in the Talmud and quoted by the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch is that if the person that originally bought this land, which is adjacent to the person's existing property, if he wants to buy that land and not use it as a field, if he wants to build a house there, then he is allowed to do so. The only time he must give it up to the existing owner next door is if he wants to make a field out of it and collect produce there and grow things there. But if he wishes to build a house, then this law does not apply. Therefore, we see in our case, as discussed in the Gemara, the existing landowner who lives next door are the angels. And this property that was being sold was the Torah. And we, the Jewish people, are trying to buy the Torah. We were trying to receive it for ourselves next door. How do we have a right for it? It is explained that why did Hashem create the entire universe? And why did he give the Jewish people the Torah? Because Nisave Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyeis Leisborech Dira B'tachteinim, that Hashem had a desire of making a dwelling place in the lower worlds. That in the world there should be a place that's a Dira, a house, a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. That Hashem should be able to be fully revealed, specifically here in the lower worlds. It is possible to have a revelation of his essence. And therefore, when Moses wanted the Torah, he desired it not only like the angels desired it, simply to use as a field, so to speak. We wanted to build a house here. We need the Torah in order to make a dir le'yisbarech, to make a house for Hashem here in the world. And therefore, the law is that when one wishes to build a house, there is no precedence given to the neighbor. Whoever wants to use it to build a house is allowed to buy it and build the house. And so too, since we took the Torah to build the house, we have the right to the field. And this is what Moses answered them. Do you do business? Do you have an evil inclination? Do you have a mother and father that since observing the ways of the Torah in our business activities and fighting our Yetzer Hara, we make our very Yetzer Hara and our business activities themselves a vessel for the revelation of godliness, and in doing so make a house, a dwelling place for God here in this world.
Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.